This is Geek News Central. My name is Todd Cochran, coming to you from the New Media Production Studio in Coldwater, Michigan. The lead story tonight, copyright and other legislation, was, of course, snuck into the COVID relief bill. We'll talk about that. Of course, big tech, now they paid the price, did the donations. Now they want their pound of flesh to have some significant positions in the new administration. The DJI, yes, DJI, the drone company, is now on the U.S. entity list, and not for what you may think. And the Electronic Frontier Foundation is laughing at Facebook's claim against Apple. That and more. I want to welcome you to episode 1495 of the Geek News Central podcast for Monday, December 21st, 4 days away from Christmas. This show is sponsored in part by GoDaddy.com and listeners just like you. Great deals from GoDaddy can be found at geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. Of course, you can support this show today at geeknewscentral.com/insider. I want to welcome all the new listeners to the show. And if you're brand new to the podcast, make sure you get over to geeknewscentral.com. Get subscribed to the show right on the right-hand column of the website. You can sign up for the newsletter while you're over there as well. Of course, we've got a great chat room at geeknews.chat. That's a Mastodon chat server. Or on Discord, or for the cool kids, you guys can be on Slack, and you can join me on Slack by just sending me an email to geeknews@gmail.com, and I'll get you added. Of course, you can follow me on Twitter at Geek News as well. And of course, right here on Facebook, and just search for my name and friend me. And if long as you're not someone with three pictures in your profiles, I'll add you as a friend. Partner shows, they're all linked to geeknewscentral.com. Of course, that includes the New Media Show, the GNC Week in Review, the Gadget Professor, Podcast Legends, and the Pro Gear Guru site. So all those are available. All those links are at geeknewscentral.com. Definitely check all those out. Of course, this show is sponsored by the longest continuous sponsor of a podcast. That's our good friends at GoDaddy.com. And you can find great deals at geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. Save lots of cash. Lots, piles, tons, not tons, because if it was tons, that would mean you would have like a dump truck full of dollar bills or something. But hey, we're going to save you a lot of money. All you got to do is use my promo codes. It's very, very simple. Again, go over to geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. And how come you didn't update? Waiting for the page. Oh, there it goes. Finally. Go over to geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy, and whether it be a 30% off a new product purchase, that's great if you've already got a product. If you're already using something at GoDaddy and you've been with me for a long time, that's the code to use. That instills confidence that they know that you are still a supporter and you're still basically listening to the show. Of course, you can get a $499.com. These are for those of you that are new and a new or transferred domain. Again, for new customers. Uh-oh, what's going on in the other room? You know what I hear? I hear a speaker in the other room. All right, let me get through this ad, and then I'll go over there and pull the cable on that. It's going... When I pulled out the SD card today, I must have bumped the cable, but what does that have to do with a sponsor spot? Hey, $1 a month economy hosting for the first year with a free domain, or $1 a month managed WordPress hosting for the first year with a free domain. You can also, again, get that free trial of GoDaddy Website Builder, your choice of personal, business, or business plus plans. All these codes, all these savings can be found at geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to leave these codes up here for just a second, and I'm going to run in the other room and oh, did it quit? Maybe I don't have to go. If it comes back, I'll go. It's still there, barely. I don't think you can hear it. What it was, you know how you get a mini jack plugged into a speaker spot and it isn't quite fit in there right? Well, I unplugged my SD card from my Mac Pro. It basically started, and now I got phones ringing. So it started buzzing. And I could hear it in here, like, great way to interrupt the sponsor spot. That's why we need you to support the sponsor. Go over there, geekandcentral.com/codeandy. Okay, so it never fails to have excitement here. I do want to remind you that this studio's design is by audimute.com, audimute.com. If you're interested in seeing how they do design work, how they can soundproof something, your business, a room that you're working in, definitely reach out to Kevin over there, audimute.com. So let's get into what's happened this past weekend. I'll call this last weekend running errands and a whole bunch of other stuff that was going on, to say the least. And I got a COVID test on Sunday. Let me tell you about this COVID test. So I rolled into a Walgreens. First of all, they said, don't leave your car. I pull up. There's no signage. I'm like, okay. Walk inside. And I said, I'm supposed to get a COVID test. And the lady's like kind of freaking out. You're supposed to stay in your car. Go through the drive-thru. Well, I don't have COVID. I'm just trying to travel. She says, you didn't follow instructions. I said, it says to park outside and follow the instructions. There's no instructions. There's a sign that says we do COVID testing. So go to the drive-thru. So I go to the drive-thru. Says, leave your window up. I left my window up. And of course, the guy's on the speaker, like trying to talk to me. I roll my window down. And we exchange information, you know, go through the thing. And, you know, he passes. So no one's coming to the car. This is no one coming to stick something back in my brain. So I'm looking at this. You know, he says, please examine the Q-tip. And you know, and I'm examining the Q-tip. He says, we're not going to go digging for gold. He says, we just want you to swipe, get it in there as a swab that was maybe, you know, double the length of a normal Q-tip. And we want you to run it 5 times around. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Now switch nostrils. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And of course it was, ugh, right? Put it back in the, oh, there's a little, they sent in a test tube, put that in, broke the thing off, and then put the cap on. And on their website, it says 1 to 2 days for test results. Well, we are at the end of day, well, this will be day one is Sunday. Day two is Monday. And he said 2 to 3. So 2 to 3 better not be 2 to 3, because I got to get on an airplane on Wednesday. And I have to have a hard copy of this thing in my hand before 9:15 a.m. when my wheels in a well heads me towards Honolulu. If I don't get this thing, I have to quarantine, and that poses a dilemma. So we will see what happens here between now and on Wednesday. I guess if you see my Facebook post and I'm on an airplane, you'll know that I got my COVID test. Or wouldn't it be more interesting? It comes back positive. That would suck. So anyway, just to let you guys know, show schedule. So there is no show this coming Thursday. Of course, that is Christmas Eve. I think you guys can account for that. I'm flying back from Honolulu the night of the 27th. I get in the morning of the 28th. I am not doing a show on the 28th. Kirk and I will figure something out. Maybe I'll do one show on the 29th or something like that to try to feed the beast so that I'm not off a whole, you know, all the way into the new year. And, this thing's buzzing again. So that's the plan. So keep yourselves entertained for just a second. I'm going to go fix this thing. It's driving me crazy. You can't hear it, but it's like really, really loud here in the studio. So hang on. Okay, bad host. You see me running through here. Okay, all kinds of extracurricular activities today. All right, so Richard, thanks for saying hello. I know you're tired from delivering FedEx stuff. Hi, Liz. Larry, anyone else watching? Make sure you say hello, hello, hello. We definitely appreciate it when you do. And let me go ahead and get into the stack here of stuff. And it's interesting when I see the news. And Kirk has done a real good job. And again, kudos to Kirk Corliss for being the executive producer here and putting in all the hard work. You know, he does all the show prep. I very rarely now have to go looking for stuff. Him and I are synced up like you know, brother from another mother. So Kirk has done a great job. And of course, Kirk does the GNC Week in Review. Make sure you check his show out. And, but there's, you know, I never know in the stack what's going to point out at me. But of course, today, they've loaded this spending bill up with a whole bunch of bills. And stuff that couldn't pass on its own, it's got piggybacked into this thing in order to get it through. So, you know, this thing is this, first of all, this money should have been done several months ago, but it was held up, you know, on purpose because of the election. And you can't make people feel better when it's, you know, prior to an election. You have to throw them a bone after the election. And it's really, you know, all the people out there are suffering. It's really devastating what is taking place here. But I guess it's a $2.3 trillion that someone's going to have to pay for. I'm going to be dead and gone before this bill comes due. So someone's got to pay for all this money, or they'll just, you know, print more money. But Congress's $2.3 trillion spending and relief package includes a previously introduced piece of legislation called the CASE Act. It's the Trademark Modernization Act, and we talked about this. Along with a felony streaming proposal. These all significantly expand the rights and powers of intellectual property owners. Most controversial, the CASE Act would create a quasi, now listen to this, a quasi-judicial tribunal. Have you ever heard of such a thing in the United States? A quasi-judicial tribunal of copyright claim officers would work to resolve infringement claims. As outlined in the bill, copyright holders could be awarded up to $30,000 if they find their creative work being shared online. Now, just let me read that. $30,000 if they find their creative work being shared online. Now, I think we all understand. I do work here with this show. I've claimed copyright, but I have copyright rules on how the content can be used and repurposed. There's, you know, I've got Collective Commons license for this show. And how it, if you want to use pieces of it, how to use it. Proponents of the CASE Act, like the Copyright Alliance, argue the bill would make it easier for independent artists to bring about copyright claims. You know, we're having news organizations stealing pictures all the time. They don't give people credit. They steal videos. And oftentimes, cases are made and they get pennies on the dollar of what they would have paid originally for the content. Now, they say this is to ensure they don't have to endure the lengthy and expensive federal courts process. The EFF and Fight for the Future argue that the CASE Act could fine ordinary internet users for engaging in everyday online behavior like sharing. So if you share someone's copyrighted material, you could have a copyright claim made against you and they could be awarded up to $30,000. So if you share a meme or something that has been created that has a copyright around it, you could technically be sued under this. The CASE Act is a terribly written law that will threaten ordinary internet users with huge fines and everyday online activity. It's absurd that lawmakers include these provisions in a must-pass spending deal, Evan Greer, deputy director of Fight for the Future, said in a statement Monday. We're facing a massive eviction crisis and millions are unemployed due to the pandemic, but congressional leaders could only muster $600 stimulus checks for COVID relief but managed to cram in handouts for companies like Disney. The multi-million dollar package also includes a provision authored by Senator Tom Tillis, that would allow the Justice Department to charge businesses for felony copyright infringement if they intentionally stream copyrighted material online. So here, I run Geek News Central as a business. I run it as a business. There's an entity that when I get sponsorship money or whatever comes in, or whatever I do, there's a check written with a company name on it. So let's say on this show, I decided to show 30 seconds of someone's YouTube video or a minute of some news network. Now, I don't do that here, but hypothetically then, even though there are some fair use rights, someone could come after me if I intentionally streamed copyright material online. So how often have you, streaming is playing something. When you watch YouTube videos, you're streaming. But let's say, here's another use case. I see a lot of folks, and you know there is rights to do this. So NASA has a live stream of something going on. And a lot of people restream the NASA stream. And because it's a government function, a lot of that's allowed, as long as it comes from the NASA website. But SpaceX is a corporation. SpaceX doesn't have the same public sharing rules. And that's private. So if you restreamed a SpaceX launch, you could be charged for felony copyright infringement. The Trademark Modernization Act will allow third parties to request a patent office. This is another one. So that's part of the CASE Act. The next part of this is the Trademark Modernization Act would allow third parties to request a patent office to reject trademarks applications in an effort to combat trademark trolls who make money off of trademarks they never plan to use. So I don't know what else is stuffed into this thing, because the bill is 5,600 pages long. So I'm sure in the coming days, we'll see all kinds of pork have been shoved in there. Now, there's other stuff that's being reported already, is that the U.S. COVID-19 relief bill includes $7 billion for broadband internet access. So half of it would cover internet access for low-income families. So we got a lot of families, the kids are not at school, they need internet. Okay, so $2 billion would go to an emergency broadband benefit that would offer low-income families $50 per month towards internet access vital to classwork and remote capable jobs. The rest of the bill is a mixed. It devotes $1 billion to tribal broadband initiatives, about 300. Now, I'll just leave this one alone, but $1 billion for tribal broadband initiatives? I know there's some Indian reservations that don't have casinos. Some do. But $1 billion? That's a lot. Maybe it doesn't go very far. I don't know. $300 million would go towards rural broadband. $300 million. Only $300 million. $285 million would back a broadband pilot for communities near historical black colleges. $250 million would go to the FCC's telehealth push. And $65 million would aid broadband mapping. Notably, they added $1.9 billion for replacing Huawei's and ZTE equipment. So this isn't strictly about improving access. Now, there's no certainty the $7 billion will be enough to sustain broadband through 2021. It could deliver internet access for those in need it the most, though. And some of the projects could lay the groundwork for future broadband rollouts. But we've seen billions of dollars have been spent already on rural broadband, and it has gotten us absolutely almost nothing. It's just a handout, often with very loose, defined deliverables to broadband companies that don't get more miles of cable put down. So lots of goodies in this bill. So we'll see what happens. Now, after every election, everyone's always jockeying for positions, right? Because, you're a big donor. You put in a lot of cash. You expect something in return for that. That works for any party. Silicon Valley is working, and this is from Reuters, just so you know the source, because some of you will say, oh my God, Todd, you're reading from Fox or someplace like that. No, this is from Reuters. Silicon Valley is working hard behind the scenes to secure senior roles for tech allies and lesser known but still vital parts of President-elect Joe Biden's administration, even as the pushback against big tech from progressive groups and regulators grow. The Biden transition team has already stacked its agency review teams with more tech executives than tech critics. It has also added to its staff several officials from big tech companies, which emerged, of course, as top donors to the campaign. Now, executive employees at tech companies like Alphabet, which owns Google, Facebook, Microsoft, are all pushing to place candidates in senior roles at government agencies, according to sources who have knowledge of the matter. The agencies many of the executives are aiming for are the U.S. Commerce Department, Office of the United States Trade Representative, Office of the Information and Regulatory Affairs, a key agency under the White House, Office of Management and Budget, which drafts policies impacting the tech industry, the State Department, and the Department of Defense. Now, there should be a rule that if you donate above a certain amount, that disqualifies you for governmental positions. This way you can't buy your way into a job in which then you invoke privilege for the companies that you have worked for and setting policy. And basically it's insider. It's all insiders here. Now, this happens. This happens on either party. This is not anything new. But we just need to be reminded that every 4 or 8 years, this is what happens. And what many people stand for within those parties will not even be impacted or be dealt with because people go into key positions. So there's big attacks right now on all these big tech companies, right? For doing a lot of crazy stuff. We've talked about it in this show. Some of the stuff that they should be stripped of some of their protections because of what they have done. But now, these folks have huge, huge commercial interests in pushing candidates with industry ties at DOJ, FTC, both of which are investigating currently whether big tech has abused its market power. All this stuff will go away. Sweep it underneath the carpet. So we'll see. Facebook and Microsoft declined to comment. Amazon Public Policy and Communications Chief Gay Carney told Reuters that Amazon is not trying to get anyone from the company placed in the new administration. So oftentimes, I don't know if you guys know this, but oftentimes when people are picked up from Microsoft or Google or Facebook or wherever they come from to go into an administration, they're giving a leave of absence at their companies. They still have a job. Or maybe they're a promise of when you get done, you can come back. One of those types of deals. But researchers, lawyers, and consultants tracking the transition or working with the team told Reuters, the moves are part of an effort by many large tech company officials to influence future policymaking. They're also making sure the Biden administration is not captive to the ideas of progressive Democrats and a growing anti-monopoly movement who have consistently pushed for higher scrutiny of such companies. Dun, dun, dun. In 2020, appointing a CEO or top executive of a tech company directly into your cabinet is bad optics and bad politics. But if they go into a lower job that's not cabinet level, people don't even know. Google's chief executive, Eric Schmidt, has been making personnel recommendations for appointments to the Department of Defense as the company tries to pursue military contracts. Again, this is from Reuters. This is the first piece of real reporting I've seen done by a news organization in a long time. This is not from CNN. This is not from MSNBC. This is not from any of the mainstream media. This is from Reuters. So Schmidt chairs the National Security Commission on Artificial Intelligence. He is vice chairman on the commission. Former Deputy Secretary of Defense Robert Work has briefed the Biden transition on national security issues. Schmidt's name has also come into discussion to lead a Biden White House technology task force. The suggestion has been opposed by progressives, according to three sources. So it just this goes on and on. I can go. There's three more pages of this. So here we are, ladies and gentlemen. We are where we are. So you think anything's going to happen in big tech? Absolutely nothing. Absolutely nothing. Mark my words. DJI is now on the U.S. entity list. Now you hear that. That's like, whoa. Now, if you're hoping to get your hands on a new DJI drone in the future, that might be a problem. Because U.S. government has since placed DJI on its U.S. entity list, the same list that Huawei is on. This spells big trouble for the drone makers. They may have some issues finding parts for its products. For those unfamiliar, being placed on the U.S. entity list means that the company is no longer allowed to do business with U.S. companies and vice versa. In the case of Huawei, we've also seen it to mean that these companies will also not be able to purchase products from non-U.S. companies that might otherwise rely on U.S. tech. Now, why? Why were they on the list? That being said, DJI's placement on the list isn't due to national security reasons. But according to the Commerce Department, it is over alleged human rights issues. DJI, AGCU Scientech, and China National Scientific Instruments and Materials and Kongqi Group enabled wide-scale human rights abuse within China through abusive genetic collection and analysis or high-tech surveillance. So this is why they've been put on the list. This is bad news for DJI, who's really at the top of their game in the drone industry, and they probably command 70 to 80% of the worldwide drone market, and there's really no one that truly competes with them. So, you know, why isn't some of the U.S. companies being put on that entity list for human rights violations using underage labor in excessive amounts and so forth in China? No, they're not going to get put on the list. All right. EFF, Electronic Frontier Foundation, has shared its opinion about Facebook's full-page newspaper ad campaign. So this is their campaign against Apple's app tracking transparency feature on iPhones. The EFF described Facebook's campaign as laughable. Facebook claimed that Apple's new app tracking transparency for iOS 14, iPadOS 14, and TVOS 14 will hurt small businesses who benefit from access to targeted advertising services. The EFF points out that Facebook is not telling you the whole story. Facebook's plan, according to EFF, is what Facebook stands to lose if its users learn more exactly what it and other data brokers are up to behind the scenes. And what they're up to behind the scenes would shock you. Bottom line, The Association of National Advertisers estimates that when ad tech tax is taken into account, publishers are only taking home between 30 and 40% of every dollar spent on ads. The rest goes to third-party brokers who keep the lights on by exploiting your information, and not to small businesses trying to work within a broken system to reach their customers. Small businesses cannot compete with large ad distribution networks on their own because the ad industry has promoted this fantasy that targeted, and you get targeted every day on the internet, that targeted advertising is superior to other message of reaching customers. Anything else will inherently command less value on ad markets. So my writer, and this comes from Geek News Central, says, personally, I think EFF, and this the writer of this article is Jen Thorpe. She says, personally, I think EFF did an excellent job of explaining why Facebook's laughable campaign is a problem. Facebook is worried that Apple's app tracking transparency feature will hurt Facebook's chance to make more money off the data it collects from all of us. This has nothing to do with an attempt to help small businesses. In my opinion, she says, Facebook realizes that people don't like to be tracked and that targeted ads can be creepy. Well, it's happening every day. What we're seeing is Facebook having a panic attack about the money they could lose after Apple, by default, prevents apps from collecting and sharing people's data. Dun-da-da-da. Dun-da-da-da. Good one. It's all smoke and mirrors, ladies and gentlemen. Trump administration says Russia is behind a SolarWinds hack. Well, I think some state agency was behind the hack. Russia, China, Iran, who knows? United States Secretary of State Mike Pompeo has laid the blame for the SolarWinds hack on Russia. The president does not necessarily think it is all the Russians. So I don't know. We'll see. More of this will come out. And again, what we don't know is what has been briefed, and that briefing is classified, and that stuff will never come out. Nuances of it will come out. So we'll just have to watch and see if all of a sudden Russia reports that their systems got hacked or attacked, or China, or whoever it may be. We reported this on the last show, but I wanted to, those of you that are watching, I want to show you it's the Artemis astronauts. And these are some very handsome and beautiful men and women. Lots of diversity here. So love to see this. How many women are on the team? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. So what is the actual total? The total is 18. So almost half. We've got 1, 2. We got 2, a man and a woman of color. Then we have, let's look what else we have in this list. Maybe 2 Latinos, 3 Latinos. It's just an interesting mix, a very diverse group. So NASA did a good job here. A good representation, good spectrum of the country. So wouldn't even like to bet on that team. I bet you that was a process, don't you think? But anyway, so in less than 4 years, NASA supposedly is going to be sending the first woman and next man to the moon as part of the Artemis 3 mission. So this will be the first time that we've attempted, maybe, to go to the moon since Apollo 17 in 1972. So exciting, very, very exciting times. We'll be hearing more about these folks in the future. Okay, the best health and wellness products of 2020. COVID-19 testing kits, okay. Theragun Mini, and I got one of these. my son-in-law got me one of these for, it wasn't a mini, it was the regular one. One of those Theraguns. Oh my goodness, are they fantastic. He got it on sale from Amazon. It was like $69. So Apple Fitness Plus, Willow Wearable. Oh, okay. This is for the pregnant ladies and lactating women. Willow Wearable Breast Pump Generation 3, the Apple Watch Series 6, the MYX Fitness Mix Bike. So these are some things from CNET, subject to, you know, maybe this is a sponsored post. I don't know. Link will be up in the show notes. Here in Michigan, a bill to ban Tesla, Lucid, and Rivian direct sale has died in the Michigan Senate. Wow. Can't believe this died. The state decided to leave the bill off its schedule, effectively killing the legislation. House Bill 6233 failed after the Michigan Senate ended session without taking action on the bill. The legislation passed by the Michigan House of Representatives was anti-competitive and undermined consumers' access to different products and consistent, dependable automotive services. That means that it sounds like Tesla, Lucid, and Rivian are going to be able to do direct sales here, which there was a big fight to stop that. So I'm glad to see this happen. The big three didn't win this one. They didn't pay enough money campaign contributions. Bribes campaign contributions to Michigan legislatures. All right, how to watch Wonder Woman 1984 for free on Christmas Day. Well, let's see here. As theaters are enclosed or at limited capacity, they can bowling alleys cannot open here, but the bowling alleys in my town said the restrictions are so tight they're not going to open again. They're still going to stay closed. The ongoing pandemic has forced entertainment giants from Warner Brothers, Disney, to radically think its movie release strategy. Disney has also dropped its one-time spring tentpole Mulan into Disney for a $30 upcharge. But on Christmas Day, Warner Brothers will go one better, gifting HBO Max subscribers for free access to the blockbuster Wonder Woman 1984 for 31 days. So you'll be able to sign up for HBO Max and get it for free for 31 days. So if you want to watch it, you can subscribe and then cancel. Of course, they're going to be releasing its entire 2021 film slate the same way. So maybe HBO Max is the way to go. I don't know. But you can get a free trial of HBO Max through Hulu or on YouTube TV. And I've already got HBO Max already. So I'm going to have access to it, I guess, myself. What else? And you can use your HBO cable subscription as well. If you are an HBO customer, HBO Max has made it less than simple to view its streaming platform. Feature on existing services. So you probably have access to HBO Max already, or go to hbomax.com and sign in through your TV or mobile provider. And once you link your TV, you'll be all set to watch Wonder Woman 1984. So that'll be something to watch on Christmas Day. AT&T is reportedly struggling to sell DirecTV at anything but a huge loss. AT&T told bidders that it may cancel the auction if offers don't improve. So I don't feel bad at all about AT&T losing money. It's one of those companies that I don't support. A long history with me being very negative about AT&T. So to see them struggling, it doesn't pain me at all. Now, if you work in the DirecTV division, I feel sorry for you, but come on now. Internet, even in the area where I have limited bandwidth, still allows me to bypass DirecTV. My mom has DirecTV, but I don't need DirecTV. I just can use internet streaming. T-Mobile will not claim it has a more reliable 5G network following an ad board decision. Now, this is interesting because the NARB is an organization where they make suggestions about false advertising. And T-Mobile did not have to follow the recommendation offered by the NARB, which again is a self-regulatory body. under the umbrella of a nonprofit organization, has no governmental regulatory power. For instance, AT&T flatly ignored a request for it to stop using misleading 5GE logo. But T-Mobile has said, or the NRB said, T-Mobile shouldn't have to mention the speed of its network when broadly discussing coverage superiority in future ads. T-Mobile said it will comply with the recommendation, but it cast the recommendation as partial win in a statement saying it appreciates that the panel agreed T-Mobile can continue to advertise its superior 5G coverage without qualification. So basically saying, we're the best. So they can say they have superior, but they can't say they have the best, or they've agreed to not say they have the best. So I've yet to see 5G anywhere that I've been. You know, one-click online buying, I think that's pretty standard now. We do that on Amazon and other places, but a company called Bolt has raised $75 million to advance one-click online buying. If that's all it took to get $75 million, we're all in the wrong game, aren't we? All right, scientists have found a strange signal coming from our closest neighboring star. So the signal occupies an oddly narrow 982 megahertz band that's unused by human-made spacecraft, yet not possible through known natural processes. And the frequency shifts up as well, rather than down like you expect for a planet. So as planets move, the frequency would shift, right? So don't count on this as a sign of aliens, although Proxima Centauri does host a potential habitable planet. Now, we're only 4.2 light years away from Proxima Centauri. So if anyone's been lighting anything off radio-wise over there, we would have heard it a long time ago. It would be very odd, or maybe, you know, I guess you got to start somewhere, that someone would broadcast a 982 megahertz. What was the first radio frequency broadcast in the United States where we actually put something in the air? It was on the AM band at a much different frequency range. Very simple technology. 982 megahertz is a frequency that is, I guess for a better word, at its rudimentary phase, long-range radar, very big dish, you know, something's like 40 or 50 feet across and moves very slowly. They don't exist anymore, but they did in the early days, where it's just this massive dish and it's moved very, very slowly. That would be something that would operate in the 982 megahertz band. So, yeah, I mean, real slow, you know, it is because of the wavelength. So, again, don't count on this as a sign of aliens. We'll see. But they're going to do some investigation on it. Apartment list valuation hit $600 billion amid pandemic boost. So Apartment List is a rental platform. They've raised $50 million in a funding round. It's roughly doubled its prior valuation to more than $600 million. So I think a lot of people are looking for apartments. They have 175,000 renters on the website. Or they help 175,000 renters find new homes every year. So they have a unique value proposition. They're at the intersection of industry find attractive, a supportive macroeconomic backdrop, and a huge market opportunity. So basically, they said that's why they spent the money. San Francisco startup has 5.5 million units available with more than 30 million registered users. So I'm sure that number is going to continue to increase as people are looking for different places. Did you use the Ledger coin? You know what that is? Physical addresses of 270,000 Ledger owners have leaked on a hacker forum. A threat actress leaked the stolen email and mailing addresses of the Ledger cryptocurrency wallet users. So Ledger is a hardware cryptocurrency wallet that is used to store, manage, and sell cryptocurrency. The funds held in those wallets are secured using a 24-word recovery phrase. How do you remember that? 24-word recovery phrase and an optional secret passphrase that only the owner knows. And they've been doing phishing attacks, trying to get people to reset their password so they can get access to their cryptocurrency. This one makes me scratch my head just a little bit. And I fully don't get it. And I guess maybe those of you that love Apple a lot will maybe buy an Apple car. But Apple is targeting car production by 2024 and is looking at a next level battery technology. So they're moving forward with self-driving cars that consumers can buy. Huh. Why? Do they really need to be in the car business? Making an iPhone and iPad and Macs is one thing, but why go to cars? Apple declined to comment on its plans or futures, but a couple people that have the know leaked this information. Apparently, Apple's progressed far enough with the battery tech to build a vehicle for consumers. Apple plans are not public. Apple's goal of building a personal vehicle for the mass market constraints contrasts with rivals such as Alphabet, Waymo, which has built robo-taxis and so forth. So we'll see. We'll see where this goes. But I guess if anybody has the money, Apple does. They have more revenue than many third world country does. Civil rights groups are demanding the Customs and Border Patrol to stop facial recognition expansion at airports. Did you hear that there is massive numbers of folks headed towards the U.S. border? That's been reported that there are caravans once again coming north and in anticipation of the change of the administration. So we'll see what happens with that. But civil rights group demand CBP to stop facial recognition at airports. The ACL, AEFF, and others objected to a Department of Homeland Security proposal. And because they plan to expand facial recognition at border entry and exit points. Why would you, I think facial recognition at border entry and exit points is potentially, for me, it seems like a good security feature. You know, I have, my face is on file. If I have global entry, if I fly international and come back, I go to a machine. I stand in front of it. It looks at my face, does a facial recognition of my face, prints me out a printout, and I walk through immigration control, just handing them the sheet. So I use facial recognition at the airport. I use it for clear to get into security quicker. So I don't have an issue with this, but I understand where the airport stuff comes in. So it's a double-edged sword here. Under the current rules, non-citizens may only be required to provide biometric data at land ports and up to 15 airports and seaport as part of a pilot program. I'm already providing, because I voluntarily signed up for a service that scans my face. Department of Homeland Security aims to lift the limit. And the number of entry points where the program can take place to remove references to pilot programs from the U.S. from the rules. U.S. citizens can opt out of biometric scans when they enter or exit the country. That's true. You don't have to do this. You can go stand in line, give them your passport, look at you, and process you. But for me, I don't like to stand in line. So, I know. What do you all think about this facial recognition at airports? Do you think this expansion should continue? A very weird ruling has come down in the EU. And this is, you know, this is where legislatures do things that sometimes has ill consequences. Facebook's child abuse detection system was hit by new EU rules. Facebook has switched off some of its child abuse detection tools in Europe in response to new rules from the European Union. The company said it has no choice but to do so since the new privacy directive bans automatic scanning of private messages. The change only applies to messaging services rather than all content uploaded to Facebook. However, there's no change in the UK where the measures are consistent with applicable laws. The problem has emerged despite warnings from child protection advocates that the new privacy rules effectively ban automated system scanning for child sexual abuse images and other illegal content. Did you know that Facebook is scanning your messages? Not only for child abuse images, but also other illegal content. Do you know if you're sending messages on Messenger, your images and your text is being scanned? Did you know that? But you didn't know that, did you? Few companies deal with the sheer volume of private messages. Facebook runs its own Messenger service and owns Instagram. So the impact on child protection tools has now kicked in. This train crash has been approaching since the summer, said John Carr of the Child Charities Coalition on Internet Safety. Neither the EU nor one of the largest and most powerful tech companies could find a way of avoiding it. They say it's a very sad day for the children of Europe. We're heading for a strange world if privacy laws can be used to make it easier for pedophiles to contact children or for people to circulate or store pictures of children being raped. So I think we all have and I have a thought process. Those people deserve a special place in hell, right? And catching them is always one of those things where it's a victory, where people can be saved and people can be stopped to be exploited. But again, there's this trade-off, right? It's not stopped the United States, but it's stopped in the EU. But I bet you didn't know that they were doing that, did you? Makes you go, doesn't it? Does Gmail do the same? Does Microsoft do the same? Do they scan your emails? Do they look for images? What two consenting adults send to each other is one thing, right? But if you're going to send pictures of kids, you know, hopefully you're caught, prosecuted, and put away for a very long time. But it's interesting where tech and privacy rules are colliding. Walmart has added pickup options for returns ahead of the holidays. The retailer giant partners with FedEx to help return online orders, so you don't have to go to customer service. The new service, Carrier Pickup by FedEx, lets people return items without having to leave their homes. Customers start the return process on Walmart's website and print out a shipping label and then schedule time for FedEx to pick up the item. Boy, you don't have to, you can buy all that stuff now at Walmart. Take it home, try it. If you don't like it, then arrange for pickup. You don't have to go back to the stores. It's beautiful. So I don't shop that much at Walmart, as you well know. All right, little more happy news here. CES 2021 TV preview, 8K OLED, micro LED screens remain huge, and the hype shrinks. A global pandemic cannot stop the biggest TV trade show on earth, but it can slow it down. So here's my thing about CES. I'm already getting inundated by CES-related emails. As a matter of fact, I wrote a new filter today to process and put them in a special folder on my computer because it's already up to 20 or 30 a day. And it's just, I'm already going to be overwhelmed. I don't know how I'm going to handle the CES coverage this year. I really don't. I'm just not excited about it. The virtual stuff, I'm kind of done. So maybe I just pick and choose stuff I think is cool. I have to be careful on my budget for my writing team. So we'll see. We'll see what I can accomplish this year during CES coverage. I'm busy with my job. So you know, I would go if the show was on and I would take the time off. But I'm not going to take the time off and sit at home and cover the show. You know, it's a big difference. But anyway, they got a good write up here and all the TVs being announced at CES. Link will be up in the show notes on that. If you're curious about SoftBank, SoftBank is looking to raise $500-600 million through its a special public offering for its special purpose acquisition vehicle. So, wow, that's a mouthful. So they're trying to do some special fundraisings here for specific SoftBank initiatives. It's called a SPAC. SPACs are blank check companies created for the purpose of merging or acquiring other companies and have gained popularity this year as an alternative to traditional stock market debuts. Well, this would be SoftBank's first SPAC, SPAC. One of his portfolio companies, real estate platform Open Door, recently went public through a SPAC. Another one of its investments in Indonesian e-commerce giant Tokopedia is also considered going public through a SPAC. So anyway, if you're following this, which I don't, the link will be up in the show notes. OnePlus is a second concept phone, and it's an 8T that changes colors. So you got the back of it, and you can program what color the design is. Blue, gray, green, and it's kind of interesting. I don't know if I want to have a phone where I change the color of the back of the phone. I don't look at the back of the phone. Why do I care what color the back of the phone really is? But anyway, you can, it's not skinning it. It's electronically changing the color of the phone, which is, to me, interesting. Also, the Wonder Woman 1984 movie has forced AT&T and Roku to end their squabble. AT&T got the bigger, got the upper hand on Roku. So, one of major AT&T's major ass of Roku and companies like Amazon, they stopped selling access to the HBO apps via their streaming services, where they can take a cut instead of shoveling folks toward the AT&T HBO Max platform after series of missteps and price hikes. You know, AT&T lost 7 million pay streaming TV customers. So they don't want that happen anymore. They want that direct relationship. So we'll see what happens here. But on Christmas Day, if you have a Roku only, HBO Max will be back and Wonder Woman 1984 will be available. So I did watch a Netflix movie over the weekend. But the 10 best streaming shows on Netflix for 2020, number one, To the Lake, number two, Alive, number three, Tiger King. Oh, my God, I watched one episode of that. Number four, Love is Blind, number five, Tuca and Bertie, six, The Witcher, it just goes on, The Prom, The Big Flower Flight, The Crown, Unsolved Mysteries, and a whole list. So link will be up in the show notes on that if you want to see what the 10 best streaming shows for 2020 were on Netflix. Also, if you don't know how to delete apps on your Android phone, I got a help you article to send you to, as well as I got an article on how to sync browsers between your phone and PC. It's a complete guide with your Mac or PC users, how to do that synchronization. I often find that a pain. Sometimes I go looking for something. I have my browser history on my phone that was on my Mac and vice versa. The syncing hasn't happened, drives me crazy. So make sure you check this out, how to sync stuff. Oh, I just closed a browser window. Let me reopen that. And have you ever heard of creepypasta? This is kind of a weird one. This is over at makeuseof.com. A lot of internet terms don't make a lot of sense if you're not used to them. One such word is creepypasta. What does that mean? What's it all about? Well, those of you that are horror film or short horror story fans, creepypasta is a short horror story being creepy, and pasta is basically copy pasta, which is a block of text. In other words, they combine two words to come up with creepypasta. So somehow this made the list today. I put it down on the end. I think There may have been an email that came in. Let me go over to the to Gmail and go down to GNC comments. Excuse me. No, there was nothing new. I had a bunch of stuff come in from New Media Show. So anyway, that's where we're at. So what is the plan again? No show on Christmas Eve. No show a week from today. So I'm going to be off two shows in a row with possibly a special show on Tuesday the 29th. So I've got firming up what's going to happen. And I want to take some more time off at some point. I do need just some downtime. I got to figure out when that's going to be appropriate. So just a few days out in Hawaii, back here, then there's New Year's. Continue to work all the way through all this. We're just busy. It's never ending, but at some point I got to find a spot to try to take a few days off. I don't know. It's winter, so maybe not. Winter sucks for, you know, taking off time because there's really nothing to do. But that therein lies the plan, ladies and gentlemen. But hey, I wish everyone a merry, merry, merry Christmas. Of course, happy Hanukkah. And I hope that you take care of one another. Be safe. I hope Santa Claus brings you everything that you want. For those of you that are out of work and having some challenging times now, I think that hope that $600 helps you out to pay some bills. But we just cross our fingers here that this thing is nearing the end. Some people are saying it could be summer before things are back to normal. I'm hoping that by March or April, enough people will have started to get vaccines that we're going to be able to, you know, kind of get back to doing the things we want to do. I mean, as I mentioned, when I was down in Florida, it was remarkable. The freedom was remarkable. Felt like I wasn't under some dictatorial control. And that's exactly the way it is here in Michigan right now. So I don't, and I understand it's trying to keep people from dying, but I protect me, you protect you. Stay safe and be careful out there. Enjoy your Christmas. I hope you get to spend it with family. And of course, then we'll come back and we'll do a show before the new year. If I don't shoot me, but I'm trying to get one out between now and New Year's. So everyone be good and take care. We'll see you next time here in the Geekness Central podcast. Everyone take care. Bye-bye.